start in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, we just thank you for our nation, Lord God, with all of her problems and all of her issues. We thank God for our nation and everything that you have blessed us to have and to know in these United States, Lord. And we pray that you would bless her. Lord God, bless America. Lord, help America, save America, our home, sweet home. Oh, Lord, the songwriter said, Lord God, so we just pray and we lift up this nation during this week of her birthday, Lord God. We lift her up, Lord God, save her. Lord, let your Holy Spirit fall on her, sweep through her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we just know that you have not given up on this republic, Lord God, but your Holy Spirit will stand. Lord, your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. Lord, we pray you lift up a standard in this land. Once again, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And, you know, my sister was telling me that. She said, you know, she was in prayer and God told her, I have not given up on this republic. You know, and I just believe that he has not given up. And we're not going to give up. We're going to keep praying for America. We're going to keep proclaiming, God bless America, my home, sweet home. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. She was established in the Lord and she will remain in the Lord in the name of Jesus. So we're going to continue with our lesson. We're in the last segment of lesson 27, the Lord of Glory. And just recapping from last week, we talked about praying this name and what it meant to pray this name, the Lord of Glory. And we talked about just these deep places, Lord, as we talk about his glory. We commented on the scripture that someone brought to my mind that the Lord said he would not share his glory with another. So if you are going to be a part of the Lord's glory, then you have got to be in the Lord, you know, because he's not going to share his glory with a foreign entity or an entity outside of himself. So if we're going to be in his glory, we have got to get close to him and we have got to be intimate. And the key verse we used last week was from Psalm 42. We've hit on this verse many times before. Psalm 42, 7 and 8, that deep calls to deep. At the thundering sound of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves had rolled over me. And the psalmist is just talking about just going to a deep place. The deep places of me calls to the deep places of God. I don't want this superficial relationship anymore. I want to go deeper in him. I don't want to just be saved and that's it. You know, I'm just standing inside the front door in the lobby. I want to come into the deep places of the house. I want to sit at his table. I want to dine at his table. I want to become intimate with the Lord. And we use the verse from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, when it talks about the lover, the beloved, talking to the Shulamite. And as we look at this, we see this comparison between the Lord, who is the beloved, and the Shulamite, which is the daughters of Jerusalem, or the people of God, if you will. And he said, my lilies, like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And I love that because it says, no matter what you're going through, we all have thorns in our life, things that are hurting us and pricking us. But he said, like a lily among thorns, so is my love. He brings that lily, that beauty into the heart of your pain. He'll bring the lily. The lily is fragrant. The lily is beautiful. So even in the midst of your pain, he can bring that beauty and that fragrance as only he can do it. There are things that only the Lord can minister. You know, we have loved ones that want to help us when we go through, and we have friends that want to help us when we go through, but there are certain places, certain times that only the Lord can minister to you. And that's what he's talking about, that he can bring a lily among the thorns of your life. So as we go forward, we can talk about hallowing this name or holding sacred this name, the Lord of Glory. And our key verse in this part of the lesson is from 1 Timothy 6:15 and 16, and it says, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the absolute ruler, the king of those who reign as kings, and the Lord of those who rule as lords. He alone possesses immortality, absolute exemption from death, and he lives an unapproachable light whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen, 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 if I can say all of that. Because it's just talking about how marvelous and how wonderful he is, his majesty. Remember, the whole theme of this whole lesson is majesty and how majestic he is. He is a king who reigns over kings, and he is the Lord who rules over lords. So as we're talking about hallowing and holding sacred his name, we have to keep that in mind. So the first point on your lesson says to hold sacred his name, the Lord of glory. You must embrace his lordship over everything and everyone. Now that may seem simple enough. He's God. Of course he's Lord over everything and everyone. But do we live that every day? Do we hold that sacred is the question. You know, do we put other things above him? And I don't want to get too far the lesson. I'm getting ahead of what we're going to talk about. You must know, it says, that he alone reigns over the living and the dead because he rules life and death. Everything and everyone that exists does so because of him. Although sin has corrupted his creation, he remains Lord of all. Do you understand that? You know, that's why I'm saying God has not given up on this this republic. He still reigns over this republic. As corrupt as it is, he still reigns over it because it is part of his creation. Even as we see all of the things that happen on earth because of the free will of men and women, know that he remains Lord of all. He can stop it at any moment. Do you understand? He can stop what's going at any moment. He can intervene in any and all circumstances. Therefore, wisdom dictates that you always hallow and hold sacred his name as the Lord and the ruler of glory. Do you understand that? Because sometimes we live as if other people are in charge. And sometimes we act as if somebody else or something else has more power than God. And that's why this has to be made plain to you, that he is the ruler of rulers. And he is the king of kings in over anything that you think is ruling over your life. We hold him sacred as the Lord of glory. You understand? We hold him sacred above all because he lives in unapproachable light. And we've talked about that already. The light that we need to set us free from our corruption. Our empty spirits are drawn to his light, for we know that he has what we need. Do you understand that? Our empty spirits are drawn to his light, for we know that he has what we need. Beyond the physical and the emotional, into the spiritual and the eternal, he has what we need. Even when we can't voice it, sometimes we can't put it into words, just what we're longing for and what we're aching for, but what we want is this unapproachable light. You know, we want this. Even before our consciousness realizes that we need his light, our spirits long for it, and our spirits are drawn to it. You wonder why some family members like to hang out with you? You know, I've heard people say that, you know, that's my sister's child. But yet they like to hang out with me, you know, the believer, because there's something in them that is drawn to the glory of God, to the unapproachable light. They don't know what it is. They can't voice it. I just like hanging out with you. I just like being around you. I don't even know what it is. It's that spirit, that deep part of them trying to draw to the deep parts of God. Something within us wants to be rid of the darkness, and knows that it will only come in his unapproachable light in the presence of his glory. You know, even before we knew God, there was something in us that just wanted to be rid of it. Just one of it. I'm just convinced that's why people commit suicide, because the darkness consumes them so much. They need that light, and sometimes they're looking around. They can't seem to find hope and can't seem to find the light. And it's because that darkness has just gripped them so tight, and they need this unapproachable light. When we come to accept him and know what it is to be in his glory, our darkness leaves us. When we accept Jesus Christ, you know, you remember that experience when you came down to the altar, something happened. Something different changed in you. Something happened. Something lit up in you. Do you remember how something lit up in you? And it was the light, it was a light that nothing could quench and nothing could put it out. So even as you went back to your life and there were people that accused you of your past sins, the darkness that was in us, it couldn't even return as we hold sacred His glory in us. You understand, when that light comes on in you, you are an untouchable. His glory makes you an untouchable, and our spirits are safe in Him. There is something when you accept Jesus Christ. You see it all the time. You see it in the prisons. People have, they've done all kind of heinous crimes, but they accept Jesus Christ, and it's like they are just, it lifts, that darkness comes out of them, and their countenance changes. And even if they know I'm still in prison because I did this and this, but it doesn't matter anymore because now my spirit is safe in the unapproachable light. My spirit is safe now. And that's the way we are. Don't let anybody, you know, people can say, yeah, that yeah, I did that. I sure did. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Do you want to know Him? Because He set me free. See, you know, it doesn't matter what people say to me. Well, Karen, you did this, and Karen, you did, and Karen, you know, remember when you, yeah, I sure did. But thank God, I'm in His unapproachable light now. Thank God. Aren't you glad Jesus saved me? I know you're glad Jesus saved me. Because you know how I used to be. I used to be a mess. I used to be, my sister says, I used to be a hot mess. But thank you, Jesus, that He saved me and He swept that darkness out of me, and nothing can touch it. Don't let the liar tell you that he can take that light away from you and by bringing up your past and what you did and what you, that's covered under the light, folks. I know it's covered under the blood, covered under the light, okay? He's taken all that, and our spirits are safe in Him. The next point said, if you would hold His name sacred above all, you would see that He is outstanding. He stands above anyone and anything else in any situation, in any place. The scriptures record that my beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. Again, that Song of Solomon 5:10. Man, my beloved. You know, I mean, if you can really get into Song of Solomon, boy, you fall in love with Jesus. Just, you know, the beloved is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And she's saying to her beloved, my beloved is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000, that He stands out, that nobody can compare to who He is. You must learn to test the glory of His standing in the situations of your life. Let me say that again. You must learn to test the glory of His standing in the situations of your life. Because at any point, in any time during the week, stuff's going to happen. People are going to say stuff to you that's going to hurt your heart, going to hurt you, you know, offend you, you know, drop stuff in your mind, and you've got to test His standing in you. Test the light in you at that moment in time. Don't fall back to what you were. You know, the song was going, turn it around. Open up the windows of heaven. Don't let the darkness come back in because of what somebody said. That's the liar. That's the enemy. And I won't go back to what I was. I thank God for what he has done in my life, and I won't go back to that. I won't go back to my old way. I won't go back to telling you off because you said something to me. I won't go back to my passive-aggressive ways, you know, secretive ways to get you back. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to lift you up that the light would come into you and learn, and you would learn of the light. So test the glory of His standing in the situations of your life. Don't go back to the ways. Test His glory in that. As you do this, you will catch glimpses of His glory as He operates in your life. You'd be surprised at how things will turn out differently when you bring Him in. When you bring Him in, you know, folks, don't let the liar, you know, the Lord has just really been dealing with me is, you know, on just understanding the disconnect that sometimes His people have with Him. You know, we learn about Him. we call ourselves Christians. We've accepted him and we call ourselves Christians and we come to church and we sing our praise and worship song. But there's sometimes a disconnect with him when we live our lives. Through the week, the choices and the decisions we make show a disconnect because it doesn't line up with his word. It doesn't line up with who he is. There's a disconnect there, and I think it's something that we as Christians need to explore. Where is my disconnect? Why didn't I do it his way? Why did I do it my way? You know what I'm talking about. You're like, and you know, and you feel that conviction sometimes after you do it, like, why did I do it that way? Why did I say that, Lord? And sometimes you have to ask yourself, Lord, why did that roll off my tongue so fast? And I'm telling you, he will come right in and he'll say, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk about why you did that. And he will show you what you're still struggling with and what you're still fighting and that he is victorious over it. But we have to keep praying about it and bringing it to him. Lord, he'll tell you, and I'll tell you, one of the number one things that'll come up is pride. Because you're prideful. They hurt your pride when they said that. You know, they try to make it look like their cake was better than your cake. You know, just some little stuff. I mean, folks, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things. They try to make it look like their outfit was nicer than your outfit with that comment, you know. And it's just it's the little foxes, and it's pride. It's pride that gets us. So bring him into it. And as you do, bring him into it, and the next time you respond, well, you will catch a glimpse of his glory. You'll catch glimpses of his glory as he operates in your life. Catching these glimpses will change you forever. It will change you forever. Folks, I'm telling you, it will move you into the eternal places with him. You know, so many times we make decisions based on the temporal things. Things that won't even matter in 100 years. Won't even matter next week sometimes. But we make our decisions based on the temporal instead of on the eternal. But when you start catching glimpses of his glory, it will move you into the eternal places. Do you know what I mean? What matters? You know, sometimes what matters is that friend. Even though that friend has said things to you that have hurt your heart, what matters is that friend's eternal soul. Not that you have the upper hand, but that friend's eternal soul. And when you minister in a way and when you respond in a way that helps their eternal soul, you catch glimpses of his glory and you change. You change. I'm telling you, you change. And you'll see them change. Because they'll change and they'll I've seen people that just tears come to their eyes because, you know, I thought you were going to respond like that, but you responded differently and you see them change and you see that darkness kind of dissipates. And that's when you catch a glimpse of his glory and you're never the same and you keep testing the glory and you keep seeing glimpses of it and you'll change yourself. You'll start to change forever. The songwriter said, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things that were once important to you will no longer be important. You won't see these things as important anymore. It's not important to get the upper hand. It's not important to win the argument. What is important is that I'm operating in the spirit of my Lord, and I humble myself to that. And if everyone around thinks I was told off and everybody around thinks, oh, well, they got that on you. You know how people talk. You know, they're always some demon egging you on. I know the people, they don't even understand when demons are telling them to say stuff that promotes strife, you know. And I learned to recognize it now. I didn't recognize it before, but I'm recognizing when the enemy comes in someone's ear and tells them to say something to you that promotes that spirit of strife. And it's a spirit of strife that's talking to them. So we learn that we are not going to do it that way. We're going to operate and hold sacred his glory during these times. The next point on our lesson says, as you hallow and hold sacred Christ's name, the Lord of glory, his life will shine in your life like a crown, a magnificent headpiece that people will see in your life. They will not know what it is exactly, but they will see it as a beautiful crown set upon your life, which has set would set you apart as royal, as protected and shielded above the storm. Boy, are you getting this? You feel royal. How is she so blessed? How come she doesn't have this happen? How come this has not happened to her? You know, we went through the same thing, and look at her and look at me. Because you're royalty. And royalty has privileges. Do you understand? When you start to walk in his glory and let things go, and I'm telling you, he puts a crown of magnificence, of majesty over your life. And people will be looking at you and not wondering, why is she so peaceful? Why is he so happy? Why are they blessed? We both got laid off. But look at her life and look at mine. I'm telling you, as you walk in the glory, you'll see these magnificent things happen in your life, folks. I mean, again, we're talking about his majesty and how we hold that sacred. And as you hold that sacred, I'm telling you, you will shine above the storm. You will, through all the trials and the worries of your life will shine bright, because in Christ, you are an overcomer in your Lord, who is Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
Lord of all. Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
Lord of the bills. Lord of the electricity, Lord of mortgages, Lord of employment, Lord of government. He is Lord of all. Do you understand? I mean, sometimes we read the Bible and we think in ancient times, well, we don't have kings. Yes, we do. We got kings. We got stuff that we bow down to.
Yes,
we do.
Yes.
But just think of him as Lord over these things that we bow down to. And he is Lord of all. And he'll take care of it. He will take care of it. Hallelujah. 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 It is not to you. It is not to you that. I'm sorry. It is not to say that you won't have problems and challenges. But it's to say that in Christ's glory, you will shine above them all. And as I said, people will wonder why you have such peace in the hard times. They will wonder why you're not complaining as they do. See, that's a biggie. They'll wonder, why aren't you complaining and whining and like everybody else does? Why are you different? You know, I think people complain. I think they find it some kind of temporary comfort, I guess, to complain. And it's so automatic because we grew up doing that. You know, I mean, that's what you do automatically. Something happens and we complain, especially as Americans. I'm telling you, Americans can whine. We are a spoiled crew. I'm telling you. I mean, you see the way other people in the world live? We have so many nice things, so many privileges, and we have just become bratty. So the complaints just roll off our tongue as soon as something isn't right. Well, why I gotta stand so long in the grocery store? Thank you, Jesus, that I got groceries. You know how many people don't have groceries? Some people don't have a store to go to unless they drive miles and miles and miles. And then when they don't have the money to buy the groceries. And we complain if the line's too long. If the weather's too bad, I gotta go and get groceries in the rain. Oh no.
It's windy.
It's windy.
It's raining.
I'm telling you, folks, we gotta get a grip on this. You know, and I brought this up before, this complaining piece. We have gotta get a grip, because you cannot enter into his glory with complaints on your lips. You enter into his glory with praise. With praise. So you have to train yourself by the Holy Spirit. You have to train yourself that you're going to praise him going in and coming out. No matter what happens, I'm going to be praising God. There's always something to praise him for. If you're breathing, you've got something to praise God for.
Amen.
People sitting up in the ICU on ventilators because they can't breathe. So there's always something to praise. So we have to really get a grip on this complaining. Hallelujah. And we got to learn how to praise him and how to worship him at all times. And that's why the scripture says, pray without ceasing. The songwriter said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. I don't care what's going on. You know, right in the midst, I dare you, right in the midst of your pain, right in the midst of your situation, I dare you to say it. I know you, the tears may be rolling down your face, folks, but I dare you to praise him in the pain. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Praise him in the pain. I sing because I'm happy, Lord. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know you're watching me. I know you see what I'm dealing with. So we got to learn to do that. You got to learn to do it. It's not going to happen automatically. The hordes of hell are going to be whispering, but you got to shut them down. I know, even if it slipped off your tongue, shut it down. Lord, forgive me. I praise you. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. Because that's another way he gets you. You know, once it slips off your tongue and once you've done it and you've hurt somebody, he'll say, well, you might as well forget it now because Jesus don't want to hear anything you have to say. That's a lie. Right after it happened, you press right into Jesus. Lord, help me to do better next time, Lord God. Show me what I need to do. Give me the directives to make it better. And sometimes people are more blessed when you come back and apologize than if it had never happened at all. I have found that. God, you know, all things, he'll make it work together for your good and that person's good. And you go back and say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. And boy, you can see their countenance light up because you have just valued that person. You have made them, you have valued them. You know, even if it's your family, even if it's your children, you know, there's nobody that is exempt from the love of God in your life. We have people that, okay, they're just my family, you know, and then these are the important people. Don't do that. Everybody is to be loved in the house of God. And sometimes, especially your family, especially the ones you grew up with. Jesus dealt with it too. You know, all the hard times they gave him because isn't this Joseph's son? Didn't he grow up in Nazareth? How dare he get up and say what he said, but he kept doing what the Father told him to do. And he loved them and he kept them. You know, they tried to stone him several times and he still went back to Jerusalem. You know, Peter told him, Lord, why would you want to go back to Jerusalem? They just tried to stone you. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You know, I know Peter meant well, but we got to do what the Father tells us to do. And if it means that we're stoned, if it means as our Savior, we're crucified, beat, whipped, humiliated, and crucified, then that's what we do. That's what we do because Jesus, what does the scripture says? But for the glory that was set before him. He endured. And that's what you got to do. You got to be seeing glimpses of the glory. So I'm going to endure the suffering. And he endured the shame because he saw the glory. Hallelujah. I hope you all are getting this. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we got to get this. You know, I know it's on God's heart that we don't have this disconnect with him, that we're not saying one thing and talking about one thing on Sunday, and then the rest of the week there's this disconnect, and then on Sunday morning we connect to him again and we come and do our thing. No, folks, you know, we'll win them. We'll win them. As the songwriter said, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Not by how often you go to church and how often you read the Bible. They'll know we are Christians by our love. You know, so we got to stop this disconnect. We got to cure this thing. The next point on our lesson says, as you hold sacred Christ's name, the Lord of glory, you can rest in the security that his glory is a sure place to hang your hat or to dwell. His throne is forever established in his Father's house. You do not have to worry about Christ being unseated from his throne. His glory endures forever. Isaiah 22:23 says, I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. It's amazing how quick we are to bow to people and to things that are so easily dethroned. You can have money today, but the money could be gone tomorrow. People will love you today, but tomorrow they could hate your guts. Do you understand? You know, we hold to things that are easily dethroned, easily destroyed, but yet that's what we bow to instead of bowing to Jesus Christ wherever we are. I'm hanging with the king that can't be dethroned. I don't know. You can do what you can do that if you want to, but I'm hanging with the one that cannot be dethroned for any reason. We pass up the Lord of the eternal glory to serve the temporal, the vulnerable, and the unsustainable things. Folks, it's true. We do. I tell you, nothing matters. Nothing. Everything's going to pass away. Everything you see is not going to be here one day. Even you and I will not be here one day. So why do we hold to the temporal stuff instead of the Lord of the eternal glory? So we must ask ourselves, what am I bowing to that is eternal? Can you think of anything other than Jesus Christ that you can bow to that is eternal? If you do, let me know, because I'd like to know what that is. Because I can't think of anything in this world that I can bow to that is eternal. Everything passes away. So we hold sacred the Lord of glory. For the Lord is the great God. The next point in your lesson says, for the Lord is the great God and the King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And that's Psalm 95, verses 3 through 7. This beautiful psalm describes God's hand as actually being the deep places of the earth. His hand is the deep places of the earth, meaning there are no places you can go where you are not in his hands. I'm telling you, you could be under the sea somewhere in a submarine and you are still in his hands. You know, you've seen some of these movies where these people go in these caves, under these caves that they find, and they go down into the deep depths of the earth. Even there, they are still in his hands. He is in the essence of what it is to be creator and sustainer. He is the essence of it. He is forever a part of his creation. Creation must follow his laws to live and exist. You can, whether you believe in Jesus Christ as a creator or God as a creator or not, you have to obey the law of gravity. Okay? You cannot step outside of the laws of his creation. You have to obey the laws that he has set up. That's why I said he is the creator. And you cannot step out of the law of gravity. And you cannot step out of the law of the physics of this earth, because he has set it in place. He has made things as he has called it to be. And we cannot change that. The scripture reminds us, and he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. One of my favorite scriptures. And in him all things hold together. He is the controlling cohesive force of the universe. And that's Colossians 1:7. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this? Hallelujah. He holds you together. He holds your physical body together. Do you understand? He is the creator. Nothing's going to change that. He is not going to be dethroned. And my God, if they could dethrone him, don't you know everything would cease to exist? we would just disperse. We would, even down to the subatomic level, we would just disperse because he holds all things together. He is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of glory. The next segment says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity. The holy one says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. Uh-oh, we're getting on that one again. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. And that's from Isaiah 57:15. Hallelujah. Our Lord lives in eternity. You understand? He lives in eternity. He is not confined by time and space like we are. We're confined by time and space. He is not. He lives outside of time and space. He is not linear along a timeline. See, that's how we exist. We don't even understand what it is to live outside of a linear timeline. We were born on this date and we grew up. Then birthday came, and here we are. Fast forward 20, 30, 40 years later, because we live along a line. We can't go back to our birth, and we can't go back years. Sometimes we want to, boy, if I could just go back with what I know today, and I could go back and be 20 again. Have you ever thought that? With what I know, some people say, no, and I feel you too. Because I don't think I want to go back either. I said, no. I want to see the finish line. I'm this far. I want to see the finish line and get out of here, okay? But he is outside of time and space. See, he can go into our yesterdays. He can go into our today. He is here today and he is in our tomorrows. All at the same moment. Do you understand? It's not like it's always, that's why he understands you. He gets you. Because he was there at your birth. He saw everything that happened to you. He is in your tomorrow. He already knows what's going to happen with you tomorrow. And that's why he is who he is. He knows how you came to be where you are today. This is why he can restore those crushed in spirit today with exactly what they need. He knows what you need. He knows that tragedy that happened 10 15 years ago. Even the things you don't tell anybody about. He knows. That's why he knows how to minister to you like no one else can minister to you. That's why the scripture says he helps those, he restores those that are crushed in spirit with exactly what they need. He is already there in their tomorrows, loving them. He's already setting up stuff for you tomorrow. Do you understand that? Making all things work together for your good, as it says in Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. Note the stipulation of humility and repentance for God to work. Hallelujah. And again, to enter into his glory, we have to go by way of the altar of humility once again. Once again, to enter into his glory, the high and holy place, you must be humble and repentant. You know, there is that place. You have to repent, you know, if you want to enter into that high and holy place. Because, you know, as scripture says that, I restore the spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Before this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. If you want to catch a glimpse of the glory, if you want to hold it sacred, then we have to be humble. We have to repent. Nothing, let nothing be between your soul and your Savior. Let nothing come between your soul and your Savior. It must be your constant cry. Nothing and no one is worthy to stand between your soul and your Savior. Some of us don't believe that yet. But you will, as so many things let you down, as so many things are not there tomorrow. They were here today, and tomorrow they're gone, and you'll realize, I cannot allow anything between my soul and my Savior. He is all that matters. He is my purpose for being here. That's why I was created. For thy pleasure, they were created. So I can't let anything get between us so I can fulfill what I was created for. The next one in your lesson talks about Zechariah's prophecy. Zechariah, the son of John. And it says, "In you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give us light, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." That's from Luke 1, 76 through 79. And there's some other scriptures you can look at, Psalm 7, 17 and Psalm 18, 13, that talks about, you know, just this, as he's prophesying over his son, about the important work that his son is going to do. This prophecy came to him. In this passage, we read the words of a father prophesying over his son, John the Baptist, concerning his role in being the forerunner of Christ the Most High. Because of who Christ is, the one who lives in eternity, the role of John the Baptist transcended through his short life here on earth into the eternity of humanity. Do you understand? This man had a short life, but his role was so relevant and so important that it transcended through humanity. John was born to announce the advent of Christ into the earthly lives of humans. It was the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promise, first given thousands of years before when we fell in the garden. See that in Genesis 15. I mean, can you see the relevance of this man's life? Even though it was short, this thing had been prophesied for thousands of years, that Christ was coming. Christ was coming. The Messiah was coming. Through thousands, all these generations of humanity, and boom, finally we're here. And this man is prophesying this prophecy over his son that's going to announce the coming of the Messiah, finally. The time for the salvation of humanity had finally come, and John was the human being called to make the announcement. Hallelujah. We must see our roles on earth in the same way. Let me say that again. We must see our roles on earth in the same way. Only relevant as it is linked to Christ, the Most High, the Lord of glory. That's why I said, folks, we can't have this disconnect anymore. You know, your life, you got to see, how is my life linked to his? Like John, his life was linked to Christ, you know, and he understood what his destiny was. The scriptures do not record John the Baptist as ever having a wife, children, or an occupation other than preaching, prepare the way of the Lord. You see this in Mark 3. No wife, no kids, ever recorded about him. No home. He was living out in the wilderness, eating grasshoppers, locusts, and wild honey. That's what his meals were. He had grasshoppers and honey because his mind was just focused on his destiny. His earthly life was poured out as a sacrifice to the Most High. The scriptures record John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. And this is Luke 1:80. Boy, you know, it was interesting because even when John was arrested for his preaching and he was thrown in the dungeon, he sent word out through his followers, like, because he heard about Jesus. He heard that this man was out preaching and teaching about God, and he sent word of his followers and saying, ask him if he is the one. Why would he do that? He's in prison. Why would he do that? Because he wanted to know that he had fulfilled what he was supposed to do. He wanted to know, is he the one? Please tell me, are you the one? Because that is what made his life relevant, is that he did what he was supposed to do. He announced the coming of the Lord, and now I'm in prison. And now I can't preach like I once did, but I need to know. I'm hearing about this Jesus. Are you the one? Did my life have meaning? Did my life make sense? Is why he sent that word out. Boy, I don't know if you can just sense his heart. Because if you're not the one, then what was all this about? You know, do you ever think that if Jesus, if you're not real, if you're not Lord, then what was this all about? So that's what John is talking about and asking about. What is this all about? And we have to ask ourselves, what of my life? What of my life? Is it relevant in light of the King of Glory, or is it all about me? Hallelujah. Is my life relevant, connected with the Savior, or is it all about me? Oh, amen. Help us, O Lord. If you cannot connect the purpose of your life with Christ, you need to seek it in prayer. I'm telling you, start today. Seeking in prayer. If you cannot find a connect in your life, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning and what you do on Sunday. I'm talking about through the week. If you are not finding a connect to Christ and what you're doing, then you need to be seeking him in prayer. I'm not saying quit your job, because the work is probably at your job. But are you connecting with him there? Are you getting the connect at your workplace? At your business? Are you getting it? Or is there some disconnect there where, I don't know, you know, that shouldn't be. Remember what Christ said of John the Baptist. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. That's from Luke 7:28. Wow, what a compliment. Wow, can you imagine the Lord of glory giving someone a compliment? And John was a human being. That the Lord of glory would give him such a compliment. And I had to think, what would he say about my life? He knows all. What comment would he make about you? What comment would he make about me? You know, I think, what would you say about me, Lord? What would the comment be? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we live in a time, folks. I know this word is relevant. This word is relevant for us today. This word is relevant to the Christians of 2017. All over the world. I know it is. I know it is. I'm glad we're recording this on podcast. I hope other people hear it, because I honestly believe, you know, God just burned that in me. It just, you know, I mean, I'm laying myself on the altar, folks. And like, Lord, is there a disconnect with me? You know, am I connected? Is it relevant? I know I'm doing my work during the week, but Lord, am I like John? Am I asking, Lord, did I do what you wanted me to do today? Did I follow the directive, Lord? Did I complete the orders of the day? Or did I fall short? Lord, if I fall short, Lord, help me tomorrow not to fall short, but complete your orders, because I know you don't put more on me than I can bear. You don't give me something I can't do. So let me, Lord, be sure to complete the orders of the day, because I want to catch a glimpse of your glory. Because as you do it, you catch glimpses of his glory. You'll see the people around you change. You'll see your family change as you catch glimpses of his glory. And that's the glory that you're seeing. You see the people change. That's the glimpse of your glory. Like, oh my God, you know, Debbie's different today. Lord, I thank you, because Lord, she's been on our prayer list, and we've been praying for her. Lord, I thank you. She never has even known you can pray for her, but you'll catch a glimpse of the glory as you see Debbie change. Hallelujah. And you'll never be the same and say, okay, Lord, who's next? Who do we have to pray for next? Pray for Kimberly. Okay, Lord, we're on it. We're going to be praying for Kimberly. And you'll start to see glimpses of his glory and what he can do in a life. I'm telling you, people of God, I'm telling you, there's no reason for us to stand back. And the Lord has gotten me on this. And sometimes I just think about, why does someone have to do this? Why do they have to do that? Why can't they just, why is it always something? Why is it, oh gee, they're just full of drama, da da da. The Lord always gets me. Are they on your prayer list? No, I just enjoy talking about them, you know, in my mind to myself. I just enjoy. You know, Lord, why? We could change this world. You could change this world. There's a reason why you are where you are. There's a reason why you're surrounded by people that I may never meet. But God has you there for a reason. You know, I was thinking to myself, Lord, why do you delay your coming? Why haven't you busted that? All the prophecies are fulfilled. Why do you delay? Why don't you come? Because there are more that he wants to win. Yes. People around me, people around you that he knows can be won if we would just get on it, folks. What were you saying? Go ahead. Comments.
I don't understand that because, you know, if he's delaying it because more, there'll always be more.
Yes.
Won't they?
Yes. And so that's why Jesus says only the Father knows the time. Yeah, there'll always be more.
There's
yes.
a reason we, yeah, we don't.
There is a reason. I think he knows when there is a balance between the condition of the world and when it's time to come.
Okay.
I think he knows the perfect balance. And that's why he, you know, only God knows. He said only the Father knows.
Yeah.
Because the Father's going to send the Son, but only the Father knows when he's going to send
the
Son.
We don't know the right, yeah.
Exactly, because the Father, you know, he knows just the balance. Because we see what's going on in our world and what's happening in our world.
Karen.
And he knows when it's the right time.
Yeah. I have something. I don't like people going on in a story, so I'm going to shorten it. Just to tell you what somebody had told me Saturday, I walked into an awful situation in the restaurant, awful. With the F word being said, and it was that my grandson said to leave, and he was cussing. And I told him, I'm the owner, and I'm telling you to leave, because this is a family restaurant. We do not use this language. Now, I heard later, my grandson always gets along with customers and the employees. He did everything he was taught to do and said, and he provoked him. But his person at his table was taking a video before he even walked up there, and he threw the thing at my grandson. And I said, everything you said was right, but when you answered that way, I said, nobody in this restaurant, you or anybody, uses that language in here. And he said, you are the only person I know that when gets mad would not use those words. You're the only person. And I said,
praise God.
I mean, I said, everybody I hang around don't use those words. That's what's inside you. I said, you could correct somebody, you could tell them to leave, but you will not. But he really was being provoked. And you know, these kids grow up in a different world. Everybody talks that way in school and that. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and he really does control by it. But in any case, I thought, does everybody, when they get mad, when I get mad, I get mad, but I wouldn't even think to say bad words.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't grow up with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my husband never did. Nobody ever did. And so I'm glad that this was said where everybody could hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't believe that we have to be.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As I said, there's a condition, you know, with each generation.
And everybody talks
you can
like
see that,
then.
That with each generation, it seems like Yeah.
Did I just tell you I told him to go?
Yes.
And I told my grandson,
yes,
I don't care how he provoked you.
Yeah.
That's what I will not stand, even from you, Brian.
Yes. And it's a light that shines in the darkness. And we, you know, you planted a seed in your grandson. Even though he may have got huffy about it, you planted a seed.
And there were customers, you know, on the counter, and they were looking. And I didn't do it for them. That's just who I am. You're not, and I have corrected people at the counter. Yes. They said, you're going to lose business. I said,
no, you won't.
God brings my business.
Exactly. No,
I'm
you
not,
won't.
I'm not tolerating that
no,
that kind of language.
See. Yeah, see, and again, you know, I mean, all respect to that person that said that, but you got to understand when the liar's in your ear, like, oh, you're going to lose business. You better... Don't.
Oh, I don't.
You know,
I do
hold
not.
To the Lord of glory. Hold to the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's the Lord of money.
And he is
the Lord over money. Do you hear me? He is the Lord over success of your business.
Totally agree with you.
Yes. He is Lord. And that's what I mean. Sometimes we, oh, well, I better. No. You know, he is the Lord. You know, and sometimes the Lord will tell you to deal with things, but hear him how he tells you to deal with it and deal with it that way.
Yeah, I think you could correct people, but to be screaming. But see, they were setting up because then the lady came in by herself and told me they are going to turn us into, I don't even know where it was they were going to turn. I just kept listening to her and I didn't, do what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't want to debate or argue, but because I think they set up because that person was taking pictures before he, the one who came there just threw that at him. I think they were setting up because I think they may do this at different restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do it, but like I said,
I
just wanted you to know that we don't have to be a part of this world.
Yeah. And the Lord,
I think so.
The Lord keeps and protect you. And I just want to lay hands on you right now. Kind of the Lord will protect you and your business in the name of Jesus. We just pray a hedge of protection and covering over our business in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy would try to plan, we cast it down in the planning room in the name of the Lord of glory. In the name of Jesus, we cover her and her business and her employees, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let her be prosperous, even more prosperous, and even more successful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And I tell you, you know, I'm telling you, and I just feel led to tell you this. You get your blessed oil. And you pour it on the four corners of your business.
You know, Judy does that, and I've not done that, but I'm going to.
Yes, get your oil. You pour it on the four corners. You anoint the doorpost. You anoint. You just go in there. You know, we come in every Sunday morning, you know, and pray through the sanctuary.
Yeah,
do the same thing in your restaurant. I do the same thing in our. I pray. I just walk through and pray. And pray.
I pray that, you know, before I go into the restaurant, too.
Yes,
and, but I'm going to do that.
But, yeah, go in early and just pray. You know, and just watch the Holy Spirit just protect and cover, and you'll be more successful
than
you ever thought.
But isn't it sad today to know that really people, that's part of their language, where we done grew up in, with that going on.
Yes, it is sad.
But it's accepted, what I'm saying. And I know some people don't even think that they ain't doing anything wrong. It's just such a part of them.
But as we were just talking about that scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that's what you did. You lifted up a standard against it. And that's what we need to do. As I said,
and
as bad as things are, God has not given up on the republic. So you have to lift up the standard wherever you are. And hear God. I'm not talking about beating people with a Bible or being religious or anything like that. I'm just talking about lifting up a standard in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will show you exactly how it should be done, so that people are blessed.
Pray for people with it's business right behind the counter. If somebody has needed prayer, we have just went ahead and prayed.
Amen.
I don't feel
amen.
And then there was this missionary. I didn't know he was a missionary. He kept coming in, selling all this Bronco stuff, and he was going to one of those in Africa places that he raises money and brings it there. Judy was there, and what did you just tell me? I feel that I'm to pray for you right there. Remember at the restaurant when you prayed for that missionary?
Yes.
He was so
grateful. And I don't, you know, people were all around. Mm-hmm. We don't hesitate at all, but yeah.
Yes. I'm telling you, see, that what you just talked about is the connect I'm talking about.
Okay,
that
yeah.
connect, mm-hmm. you know, like you should be connecting on Monday, you know, during the week. Where's that connect? You know, where am I seeing him operate? That's what I'm talking about, the connect. And I'm connected with him at all times. I respond to people in the connecting of my Christ and my Lord. You don't have to... You know, as I said, you're not quoting scriptures or anything like that, but you're just connecting like,
yes.
Hey, we don't, this is a family restaurant. We don't use that kind of language mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. You know, connecting, lifting mm-hmm. up the standard, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, and the folks that say that, you know, they need to hear this. They need to hear that. They need to hear that there is some place where they're holding a standard, you know.
Well, that's good, 'cause we were eating at a restaurant and she got something over her phone and Judy, don't even think about, start praying. And the lady across in there were praying, agreeing, and
it
they said,
Amber Alert.
Oh, Amber and so Alert. And you said,
and the lady said, oh, amen, after we got through the people
yes.
around us then.
Yes.
So
everybody,
that is really neat.
I'm telling you, I never, you know, because I do pray with those Amber Alerts too, but you know, for people to hear, you hear that? How, you know, I mean, we're all getting in over our phones now, these Amber Alerts, are you praying? When you hear an Amber Alert, do you? And that's what I mean, the connect. Like, okay, this situation has come up. Connected with my Lord. You know, how do I bring Jesus into this Amber Alert? Okay, Lord, you just know where this child is, and you'll protect them, Lord. Get them home to their yes, yes, yes. It's so interesting because we were in our Sunday school prayer, and Brother Jerry was talking about the situation. I think it was on the news this week about this kid that was kidnapped. Somebody grabbed him off the street and threw him in their car and took off. And the kids start singing, every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord, every praise. And he kept singing it and singing it. And the guy said, shut up. And he kept singing it until finally the guy just let him out. Let him out of the car and let him go. And it was on the news. I was like, oh my God. I said, see, that's what I'm talking about. Lifting up a standard. But why that child thought to start singing that song he heard in church, you know, I don't know. Except somebody praying. Somebody's praying. Yeah.
Sister Karen, it's just like John the Baptist where it said, John grew up and became strong in
yes.
the Spirit.
Yes.
That's the reason we got saved. What do we think we got saved for?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Connie had said about, there's so many coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's still people coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our job to leave a legacy for our children, grandchildren, their children, their children, their
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
And it will always be preached.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think myself that that's why God wants us to always give him the glory.
Yes.
He gets the glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what
yes.
we do.
Yes.
It's he
yes.
uses us to glorify
yes.
him.
Yes.
And that's why when John said, John grew up and became strong in the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, that's why he became so strong in the Spirit.
Yes.
Because he had that awesome
yes.
connection with the Father.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when you have that awesome connection, there's no compromise. There's no tolerance for a lot of things.
Yes.
You step in and say, and you've taught your kids.
Yes.
I'm sure most of us, even before I was saved, I taught my
saved.
Yeah, I taught my saved kids in my home. There is not to be that language.
Mm-hmm.
And they try you. They try you.
They grow up hearing that.
And then it becomes...
Think of it like we do. It's just almost a part of what they say.
Yes.
And they slip.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Right
yes.
away, if they slip in the house, you know, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because they were taught at 2, 3 years old.
Yes.
We can't grab
yes.
them and teach them at
yes.
15, 16. You teach them at little teeny guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're bigger,
yeah.
you pray.
And
yes.
when they're bigger,
yes.
you're on your knees.
Yes. yes. I'm telling you.
Bigger,
they have
knees.
Grown up in a different time, in a different society, but we pray. We pray. So anyway, folks, we'll go ahead and dismiss. We're going to do the second half of the lesson next time. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you because you are the Lord of glory,
hallelujah,
that you are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings, Lord, and help us to remember that, Lord God. Father, remind us to practice looking for glimpses of your glory, Lord, as we act, as we respond, as we live from day to day, Lord God. I pray that we would hold to the one that cannot be dethroned, Lord God, and that we won't be holding to these things that topple over every day, Lord God. Even great corporations, Lord, topple over, Lord God, every day, Lord God. But you, O Lord, are sustainable forever and ever and ever, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God. I pray that your people would rise up and be your people, Lord God. Yes. Oh, Father, there's never been a more critical time for the children of the Lord of glory to rise up, Lord God, and lift up the standard in the land through your Holy Spirit, Lord God. So I pray, remind us, Lord God, as we practice this, Lord, I believe and I know it will become automatic. It will become automatic. Lord, I let our every thought be of you, Lord God. Lord, every time, Lord, we have a free moment, Lord, I pray that your presence would flow into our mind and we would pray and we would praise. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, Jesus, just for the evidence of your glory in the earth, Lord God. And I pray that we would show this evidence even more. Oh God, I pray again that you would increase and we would decrease. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you and we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.